Okay, let's get right back to business, our second hour. Airman Jim. Now, I'm going to send these over to you, Frank and George, and I'd like you to please forward them on to Airman Jim for us here in a little bit. The parasailing above the Titan Missile Complex in Sutter Buttes, Northern California, and the Titan Missile Silo explosion covered in a very lengthy story. Very interesting. All right. Let's go right back to, first of all, George, I guess let me go to you first. Do you have anything to say or to add to this? It's very, very interesting.
Well, one of the things that we run into frequently is that if you do have UFO sightings, you're frequently transferred. I know people have been on submarines and seen them and have been transferred. I know people in the Air Force have been transferred or retired. In other words, they don't like a lot of people together who see the UFOs talk about.
They've had, obviously, George, a whole lot more interaction with whoever these people are, whatever intelligence is there, than maybe even you know. And you've heard it all, or nearly all of it. I've heard a ton. But this seems to be something that they're either fascinated by nuclear weapons, nuclear energy, or they don't like them. And they're obviously trying to tell us to quit messing with this kind of power. And I would think that would be the lesson. Would you agree?
Yes, I think so. They've certainly, almost all of our contacts, they're discussing the environment and the damage we're doing to the environment. And obviously, nuclear explosions and that kind of thing do a great deal of damage to the environment. They don't like that. Basically, because it appears they may want to come here. They want a clean planet.
Well, if we trash the place, they're going to have to do some serious house cleaning, yeah. We are doing a pretty good job of that. Okay, go ahead, George. Go ahead.
Let's make an assumption that when they say that they're coming here, it's quite possible that they are coming here. Well, where would they want to go to? They want to go to countries that have tremendous numbers of immigrants of various kinds, legal or illegal, and places where there's plenty of sightings. There are places like Italy and the United States where there's the acceptance of large numbers of immigrants, so they could very easily just come into our society and really not be noticed. Just a thought.
Got it. Okay. Very good. Frank, anything to add? We're going to go right back to Jim and get the rest of his stories from him.
Yeah, it's almost as if they're reprimanding children playing with matches, isn't
it,
Jeff?
I completely agree. Although I think children with matches are more responsible in some ways. Let me go back to Jim now. Jim, let's move on with your stories. What's up next?
Yeah, I want you to know, too, Frank, I appreciate you thinking of me and get me on the show. I would come back multiple times if they asked me.
Well, thank you, Jim.
I have enough to cover. I have enough to cover four or five different events like this for two-hour shows, believe me.
Wow. Okay, well, let's pick the next one you'd like to talk about then.
Yeah, is there any chance I can get a copy of this also,
Of course
Jeff?
You can, sure.
Wonderful. What format, like DVD or something or what?
We'll send it to you in a file. You can just basically download it or click on it and play it on your,
wonderful,
on your computer.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay, the next event I would say was the missing time. Can we go into that?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, my wife and I were invited down towards Philadelphia one night. A guy heard me talk at a little UFO group in Jersey, and he said, hey, would you come down and give a mini lecture? I said, sure, okay. That was March, in fact, it was just an anniversary. Remember when the comet Hale-Bopp was flying around? Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So we went down there and on a Friday night and give her a little thing, and then I said to my wife, I don't feel like driving home, because she don't drive. I said, I don't feel like driving home. Let's stop and grab a hotel. So we went to Fort Washington. We stayed overnight. By the way, that's a haunted place. I can tell you something about that, too.
Huh.
And the next day I said, you know, we used to live in Downingtown. Let's go down to the farmer's market. Okay, so we drove over there. And I had a bunch of my business cards to hand out, UFO business cards. And I gave them out, you know, down there, and we stayed a little bit and got something to eat. So my wife wanted a cigarette. So at 3 o'clock, she just bought a watch, too, by the way. And we parked. Something told me when we pulled into the lot, don't park in the front, park in the back. I didn't know why, but I go by my hunches. So I parked in the back of the farmer's market.
Uh-huh.
And I went in there and met a few people. And she bought a wristwatch, and she said, I'm going to have a cigarette. So she goes out there, and now it's getting real cold out, and it's beautiful, though. Beautiful day, sunny and everything. No clouds in the sky. Beautiful. And but she's cold. So she says, you know what? Let's go. We had enough. I said, okay. So 3 o'clock. We sit in the car. I couldn't start the car. Battery was dead. I said, wait a minute. That's a new battery. One of them, you know, I won't say the brand, but, you know, they advertise them. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know. And so I went back inside, and I said to the guy, can you give me a hot shot? And he said, what are you doing here? I thought you guys left. I said, yeah, we just went out to the car, and it won't start. What? What do you mean? Well, anyway, he said, we're closing up. I said, why? Why so early? He said, it's almost, you know, we're closing early, about 8 o'clock. So he came out and gave me a hot shot. It's getting dark. It's getting dark. I said, wait a minute. Wow, this got dark awfully quick. Couldn't put the pieces together for nothing. My dash on my clock on the car said 10 a.m., 10:10, something like that. Anyway, he says, all right, we couldn't get it started right away. We finally got it started. He says, you guys got to go all the way up to Allentown now. He says, that's a long way. Don't shut it off. When you get home, call me. Make sure you got home safe and sound.
Nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we went up, and on the way home, we saw hail bop in the sky. Now, when we sat in our car, it was a beautiful, sunny afternoon, no clouds in the sky. All of a sudden, we saw this real dark cloud right in front of us. The car wouldn't start. She started getting a little nervous. Well, in my lecture I did in 2007, this is all documented. It's an hour and a half lecture just on this subject alone. And people were asking me questions in the audience. We had a question, you know, answer thing and afterwards, sure. Questions, answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I got home and parked the car and called him and said, we're home safe and sound. He said, okay, now tomorrow morning, it's Sunday, you probably won't be able to do much about it, but just for the heck of it, go out and see if you can start your car and let me know how you make out. So luckily the battery's under warranty and I got another battery out of it. And, you know, the guy had to come out and put it in because I couldn't start the car. And he was right, you know, we would have been stranded. So we lost, in 5-minute time frame, a little bit more than 3 hours. Because I remember my wife looking at her watch, and she said, whoa, this is a piece of junk. It died. It stopped running, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Magnetics.
Mm-hmm.
The top of the car, the hood of the car, and the trunk looked like somebody took steel wool over it. And it was only painted from Mako a year before that. And when I took it down to Mako to show him, he said, you need another paint job. He gave me a discount, but he said, what happened? What'd you do to your car? I said, I don't know. I said, it's just paint ain't holding up. He said, that's how come the sides are all good? And I said, I don't know what's going on. See? So these are the things. So I joined a group called the Planetary Lightworkers and asked them for some answers. And, boy, they said to me, you ain't the only one that had experiences. Wait till you hear some of our stories. 28 members. I used to go from Allentown down to a place near Reading to mm-hmm. go to this little church we called, I forget the name of it, but it was in the basement we had our meetings, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody shared their stories, and they thought mine were fantastic.
Well, your supposition is the car was removed from the parking lot and then returned to the parking lot?
Yeah, that's what I was told. I immediately called Bruce Carnett when I got home, and he told me to call this guy here in Temple University. Let me see if I can think of his name now. Who's that?
Dr. Jacobs.
David Jacobs. I called him up, and he said, I'd like to regress you guys, but I told him we're on some medication. And he said, well, then I won't touch it, no. And you guys are pretty far away anyway. You're all the way up in Allentown. That's 65 miles. So Dr. Jacobs told us, he said, just try to find a local hypnotist or, you know, somebody who can do a regressive. So the girls at Planetary Lightworkers did mine. And she said it was the best she's ever heard. I was put under. I don't remember talking about it. But she said, man, some of the stuff you come up with, evidently you've been abducted many times as a kid. My father was psychic. He used to talk about stuff like this. My mom, her mother, well, my mom was a real, like, a real born-again Christian, real strict. She didn't want to talk about it. But before that happened, because we were raised Catholic, before that happened, she used to talk about different things, strange stuff happening. So I think they mess with, generation after generation.
That's generally the feeling. It's a multi-generational following operation.
Yeah, and they follow up, yeah.
Tracking, yeah. And the implants could be part and parcel of the same operation with you. Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So you think you lost, what, 3-4 hours anyway?
About 3 hours and 15 minutes, I'd say, Jeff. Yeah, because, it went from a beautiful sunny day to this cloud in the sky, and then it got dark quick, I just couldn't put the pieces together. But Bruce Carnett said, Jimmy, let me tell you something. If you're in a movie theater with 150 to 200 people and they want you, they'll put the whole movie theater asleep. And they'll wipe their mind, they'll wipe their memory, they don't even know what happened.
They're right, that's
said,
correct.
If they want you bad enough, you could be on an airplane, you can be on a ship at sea. If they want you, they'll get you.
Well, you're a person of very high interest. Did your wife and you talk about this possibility, and does she accept the possibility, or is it something she just really
My wife
about?
And I, she helps me with my lectures. My wife knows
very good.
All about the same stuff. Thank God, that's my second wife. I got a wife who is absolutely on tune, 100%. And she told me things after we got married that she never told anybody. She had more than sightings. She remembers one time where she come home from work as an LPN, went into her apartment, and sat down on the sofa and fell asleep. The next thing she knew, she was locked out of her apartment on her lawn.
Huh.
The cop pulled up, a little guy. She said, he didn't look like a cop. Look at a young, scrawny guy. He said, what are you doing, lady? She said, oh, I'm trying to get back in my apartment. He said, what, breaking in? She says, no, I'm trying to lift the window so I can get in. He said, you get in and you bring out your identification or you're in trouble. Well, she went right in and got her purse and came out and said, look, there's my identification. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I fall asleep on my sofa. Next thing, I'm out here on the lawn. She said she remembers that sofa becoming liquid. It's just like it was liquid. It went right.
Huh.
Afterwards, she got her memory back. She remembered going right through the wall. I mean, this sounds crazy, but it's happening to millions of people.
Yeah, no,
this is
you're making total sense, and it's interesting. 15 years ago, I used to have a lot of people come on the program. 20 years ago, abductees who would tell their stories, and for the last 10-12 years, there haven't been many. They don't talk much anymore about it.
Yeah,
interesting how quiet it got. George,
well, I'm
going
to have to get some friends of mine who can come on too and tell their stories, because I think it's high time we have disclosure.
We need full disclosure, of course, and
you better believe it.
People like you to do it, and I'm only happy to help. George Filer, anything to add to this so far?
Well, it's interesting that Bruce Cornett and David Jacobs are both friends of mine.
Yeah,
and we've been to many meetings together. And used to go up to Pine Bush and watch the UFOs up in New York.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a PhD in two fields. In other words, both are PhDs, come to think of it. that people don't realize that there's interest in this field by scientific
Well, it's a very poorly kept secret, really. We've been conditioned ever since the 1950s through the major Hollywood films of the 50s and then TV. Space alien movies, space alien TV sitcoms, you name it. And we've been there. If they're preparing us, we're over ready for disclosure. So let's keep playing the stupid games. Okay, Jim, go ahead with your next little tale, whatever you'd like to do.
Yeah, well, my wife and I were driving along one day about 9 years ago, and it was in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock, and she said to me, what's going on? I said, what? She said, the kids should be coming out of school. We were near a school. She said, where's all the kids? She looked at her watch. She said, wow, what the heck? It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. She said, we just had kind of like a lunch and a late lunch. I mean, it's just weird the way things happen, you know. Mm-hmm. Your time, you lose time. And they say they remove your memory and stuff like that, but evidently they goof up once in a while, you know.
That's what
we've
I've
had
heard.
Strange things happen like this over the time. And I said, thank God it was with you in Downingtown that I would have had to explain what happened to me for 3 hours and some minutes, you know. I mean, where were you? And you can't explain it. But being together like that, mm-hmm. I mean, when I was doing the lecture and talking about this stuff, I was getting goosebumps. That, I mean, they were just, you know, I was telling the crowd what happened. And you see people nodding their heads, oh, yeah, you know. And that was a Saturday. I did the first part of the lecture, and then the guy come over to me. His name is Pat Marcatilio. He said, Jimmy, I really enjoyed what you did. And he said, a lot of people told me they weren't coming back tomorrow, but they want to come back and hear you talk about your missing time now, you know. So he said, I'm putting all in VHS for you.
Nice.
So,
nice.
I'll tell you, there's so much going on. You know, you got to realize, well, we've come in 100 years from the Wright brothers to now. And if they're 1,000 years ahead of us, 2,000, imagine where we'll be in just another 100 years.
If we make it.
This earth. With our technology and our back engineering of crash craft and you name it.
If we make it that long, Jim.
If we make it that long, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
With the grace of God, we can. But, boy, I'll tell you what, things are heating up. And the chemtrails, I mean, I can go from A to Z on all the subjects you want to talk about.
You are extremely well informed.
Yeah. If I can't keep up with the conversation, I'll say to you, don't ask me that question. If I don't know it, I'll go research it. Then I'll come back with the best answer I can give you. Now we both learned something.
That doesn't happen.
I'll never tell somebody I don't know. I'll go research it.
Good for you. Well, they're not teaching that to children anymore in school, so... When you were a kid, did you have any unusual things happen to you that you recall?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. When I was 7 years old, we lived in a place called Sweetland, PA. We had a little country school about a mile up the road. Okay, October 31st is naturally Halloween. So we just had a little Halloween party at school and everything else. This was like a Friday. Anyway, I was scolded. They had to come out looking for me. Because I didn't come home from school. They found me 2 miles away in a cornfield with, it was mud, it was like raining that afternoon. There was like mud in the corn and the corn stalks and everything. And there I was with my little red two-wheel bike that I got, you know, for Christmas. And I don't know how I got there. I had no mud on the bike, no mud on my shoes. And I had this sweater on, and I was chilly. I was freezing. And I kept saying, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got here, you know. And my uncle was a cop in Northtown, PA at the time. And they called him, and they said, Frank, come in. Jimmy, we can't find him. So they found me. I don't know how they found me, but they did. And I was just kind of like standing there. And my mom, you know, she scolded me so bad. What happened? I said, I don't know. She thought I got taken by a stranger or something like that. Nah. Mm-mm. No. And then when my sister and I were little kids, I was like 3 and she was 4 and a half. Mm-hmm. We lived in Norristown. We lived in a different part of town. And 2 o'clock in the morning, they found us about a mile away, walking the streets, way down near my dad's taxi stand, because he drove taxi. Uh-huh. And my mom said, we were in pajamas, for crying out loud. She thought we were up in our cribs.
Well, you've had, Jim, what we could call an extended family for your whole life, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah,
any marks, you know, or scars or anything like that?
Yeah, a couple here and there, sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One on my head, a couple on my arm, one on my leg.
Well, they like you, and obviously. You're very much liked and respected. Do you have any recollection of what happens to you during your missing time? Have you been hypnotically regressed?
Yes, I have, over at the Planetary Lightworkers after this incident with the thing in Downingtown. The girl said she would do it, and I don't know how good she was, but she took me aside, and we went in this room, and she put a tape recorder on, and she kind of just talked to me and talked to me. Next thing I know, I was in a stupor, and she said I kind of just started babbling on about going down these real dark steps, like into a cave. And I was, like, scared of what I was seeing, and I was, you know, and everything. And she told the group at the Planetary Lightworkers, she said, boy, that's one of the best sessions I ever had. It lasted, like, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all the group, I was kind of new at the time there, and, you know, they kept inviting me back. And it was, like, a 35-mile trip from where I lived at the time down to this Unity Church. That's what it was called, Unity Church on Hay Road in Temple, PA. And the lady was a minister there. She was Noelle, I think her name was, or something like that. She kind of, like, ran the thing, her and another person. Oh, then I gave it. I'm psychic, okay? I was born a psychic. I said to this lady about 70 years old, I said, you want me to do a reading for you? She said, oh, you do that? So I said, yeah, just give me something like a ring or something to hold. So I did. And I looked her straight in the eye, and I said, do you like to fly? And she said, well, I've never been in a plane. I said, well, I see you going on a big plane, and you're going to go far from here, and you're going to be up high. I said, but be very careful on this trip. She looked at me kind of strange. A couple of weeks later, she brought a video back from her up in the mountains coming down on a stretcher. She went to, Brazil or Chile or somewhere like that. She went on a 747. She said nobody knew we were taking a plane. Nobody even knew me and the director were going to go on a vacation together. So she said, I believe you. If you give a reading, I believe you. So everybody started wanting to give me their jewelry and getting readings and all that.
Well, very interesting indeed. Hold on, Jim. We have to take another little break. We'll come right back.
Can I talk to any of the other guys while we're on break?
I'm not sure, but I think you can. We'll hold on, okay. Count to about 10, and we'll find out. All right, we'll be right back.
Okie doke.
Chile, and our special guest, Airman James, or Airman Jimmy. All right, our friend here, Jim, go right ahead and take us where you would like next. These are all just wonderful stories.
I was just talking to my wife, and she said, well, you know, we've had a few experiences, and she said I had a few before we got married, and I was a kid. And
if she'd like to come on for 5 or 10 minutes and share one, she's welcome to. It's up to you.
Yeah, I mean... I'll ask her. Let me see. We're in a mobile home. I'm like 60 feet. I'm back in the bedroom. I'll come in here. Hey, Ro. get on the line there. He wants to talk to you there.
Uh-oh.
He wants to hear one of your
experiences. Put me on the spot here.
I'm not on the radio.
Wait. Okay, here.
Am I on the radio?
Yeah. This is my wife, Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary.
Hello. This is Rosie.
What a treat. Jeff Rentz. How about that, huh? We listen all the time. Go ahead.
How nice.
Oh,
yeah.
We're
going
to have to get her on your phone or something. She sounds like she's on a speakerphone.
Oh, does she? Okay. Here, talk to him on that.
Hi, this is Rosie.
Hi, Rosie. Thanks for being here. You're under no pressure to do this. I just made a suggestion, an invitation to you through Jimmy to see if you wanted to share one of your experiences. We got a bunch of great stories going here. So if you've got one, you're more than welcome to.
Okay. Yes, I have one from approximately 1975.
Uh-huh.
I was working in a hospital in Reading, Pennsylvania, as a licensed practical nurse.
Yeah.
And my normal shift was 3 to 11. And
that's hard work, too. I know what you're doing. And that's very, very wonderful and appreciated profession. Thank goodness there are licensed nurses like you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, my normal shift was 3 to 11, and I was asked if I would stay a second shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and so I worked a double shift, and then I was off for 8 hours, and then I went in the second day for my regular 3 to 11 shift.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came home that evening, I was so tired that I figured I needed a nap before I went to bed.
That's
I stretched out. I took my shoes off, and I stretched out on my couch.
Oh, you did? Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And next thing you know, I started dreaming that my couch was, like, turning into, like, a firm jello or something. And I was moving on this. And I went from my living room. I turned the corner, went into my bedroom. And then when the couch came to the wall, it stopped. But I remember I went up in the air, and I went right through my window.
Is this the same couch that Jimmy said he was on that turned to, felt like it turned to liquid?
Yeah, that was just her on that sofa. This was before we got married. This happened to her before we got married.
Is it the same sofa?
Yeah, this is that incident. Yeah, she's explaining that.
Yeah.
The sofa
very good.
Stopped, and you kept going, huh?
Okay, so you went
and
through the wall.
Going.
All right.
Right. Through the window.
Through the window. The closed window, yeah. The glass, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And when I went through this window, I felt like a sizzling, scintillating effect as I went through the window.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do not remember the abduction. I didn't see any, you know, grays or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember waking up on the lawn in front of my apartment, and that was about 2 hours later. And I thought, oh my God, how am I going to get in this apartment? Because I didn't want to disturb the maintenance man, because he was kind of cranky.
Mm-hmm.
But my keys to my apartment were inside my purse,
mm-hmm.
which I had put on my coffee table.
Sure.
So, you know, well, anyway, to make a long story short, they were very cheap windows, and I managed to find something in the dumpster that could pry the screen off.
Uh-huh.
And then I raised the window from the inside because I hadn't had it locked. So that's how I got in my apartment. But
uh-huh.
The cop. Tell them about the cop.
That was, oh, yes. Oh, my God. As I'm crawling in my own apartment, this squad car, this police car pulls up. And he had one of those high beams on it, you know, those bright
spotlight,
lights.
Spotlight, sure.
And he shone it on me, so I turned around and I said, you know, I'm just trying to get into my own apartment.
He said, sure, I've heard that before.
Uh-huh. So this officer says to me, and he was an odd-looking, little fella. You know, you figure police officers would be, you know, at least over 5'7",
sure.
Right. But this was, he was no bigger than me, and I'm only 5'3". But anyway, he asked me what I was doing and everything, and I explained to him. The only ID I had on me was my name tag underneath my nurse's pin.
Mm-hmm.
That had my first and last name on it, but that's the only thing I had as ID, because the ID was in the purse. So anyway, he says to me, well, he says, you got the window open. He says, I'll give you 10 seconds to get through the window and come to the front door with your purse and your ID. And that's what I did. But after the incident, I thought, well, that was very peculiar, because what officer would give you that amount of time you know, to crawl in back into a building and come to the door.
That's a very strange thing.
I'm taking the sofa ride again.
Yeah,
the police officer really was the strangest thing.
Do we think possibly a screen memory of some kind there?
Could be, yeah. Because
maybe it wasn't a police officer.
I know, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. It may have been, you know, a...
one of them
ET
trying to help you get back in or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I've heard they put you in the wrong place when they put you back, too.
Well, they...
That's true. I've heard that, too.
With me. They dumped me in the grass.
Yeah, no, I've heard the same thing. They put people outside or down the block or whatever.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, that's a good story. Okay. You got another one, or is that enough for you?
Well, that's enough for me tonight.
Okay.
I'm certainly not used to...
And she's really into spirits. She has seen her share of ghosts.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of... almost every place I've ever... My grade school was haunted, my high school.
All right, Rosie, let me ask you a favor. We have to take a break for a couple of minutes. Just think of one good ghost story you'd like to share, if you would, and then after the break we can do that, and then we'll put Jimmy back on. Can you do that?
Sounds good, Jeff. Yep.
Okay, fine.
Okay. All righty. We'll be right back. Okay, and welcome back. Talking to Jim and Rosemary. Okay, Rosie, you got a little ghost story for us?
Yes, I do. When I was in between jobs, I was working in this large office building where the service elevator would open up in front of four internal offices.
That's Bethlehem Steel, wanted place. Yeah,
yeah,
go ahead.
So anyway, there was a crew of us, a crew of four. And two girls would go down one leg of the building, and the other two girls would go down the other leg.
Mm-hmm.
So the four of us get off the elevator. We're working as janitors. And the four of us got off the elevator, and in front of me, the office, the internal office, was lit up, and there was a young man there bending over his desk. He had on a yellow shirt and a brown tie, and he looked over at me. And the office was fully lit and everything, mm-hmm. and I said, you know, good evening, sir. And he nodded to me. And as we're walking away to go to our respective places to work, the friend I was with, the girl I was with, says, who are you talking to? And I said, the man in the first internal office. And she said, it's dark, there's nobody there. But I saw this guy as clear as day, like another human being.
Wow, but yet she saw the office as dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He just, like, kind of vanished away.
Yeah.
How about the dog, too? The dog running down the hall.
Oh, yes. The one, I was crew chief, by the way, and one girl came to me, and she says, there's a dog running around up here. And I saw a dog. So we went to look for it, and we never found the dog, but you could hear... the tic-tacky of dog paws ticking on the flooring.
Yeah. That's a haunted place.
And we had a lot of experiences there at Bethlehem Steel.
So you could hear the dog's toenails ticking on the floor as it was walking around.
That's right.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I have one more really brief one. I heard the rumors about a woman... In a big transcription room that you could hear her typing. So I broke away from the crew one night to go and investigate, and I did hear the typing. So I went in, and I flipped the light on quick, and I saw a woman sitting at a desk in front of a typewriter. She had on, like, the 1950s or 60s, she had on a pink blouse with pearls, and her hair cut in like a bob.
Yep. Did she make eye contact with you?
No, no. She just faded out after I flipped the light on. I just saw her for, you know, just a split second, and then she went gone.
But you did, you heard the sound, and that faded away, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she has a bunch of them, boy.
See, that's, you're an empath or a medium or something. You've definitely tuned into...
Yeah.
Either a different dimension,
like,
or people who are still hanging around places that they were familiar with and liked, whatever. They're sort of trapped in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do have psychic flashes.
She has one, Jeff, where the lady passed away and she saw the angel, that huge, like a male-female entity.
I was taking care of her and she says, "Look, Rosemary, there's an angel." And I turned to the end of the bed, and standing there, about 8 foot tall, was an androgynous being with a long white robe on, and it had a belt on, and I mean a wide belt, like the wrestlers get when they win.
Yeah, sure, like a sash.
And this had all kinds of, it was bronze colored, and it had all kinds of engravings on it.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that was an ET or if that was an angel or what, but I remember it was beautiful, and it was built like a man, but yet it had the softer facial features of a woman.
And then she passed. She died. Yeah.
What a story. An amazing story. You two have really lived some fascinating experiences, and I have a feeling it's not
near
over.
Yeah, we could write a book.
Yeah, well, you certainly can. Okay, Rosie, thank you for being here. That was very nice of you to do that.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
good night.
I appreciate doing that for me. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, Jimmy, we have just a few minutes left. Anything you want to do real quick, or we can kind of say goodnight for this time? I got to talk to George and Frank for a bit, but anything else you want to add from your library of experiences? Whoop. Did Jimmy say goodnight?
I think he did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy. You hung up a little too quick, but the thought is there, and we all appreciate what you shared with us tonight. So you'll get a copy of the program. You can hear all that. Nice couple, Frank. Really nice people.
Yeah.
You
were able to get on and share some of their experiences.
Well, you did it, and we really thank you for that. You made it possible. You know what's fun is when you hear people trying their best to describe things that are almost indescribable.
Yes, yes.
That has always fascinated me.
Very true.
And they do such a good job. George Feiler, any thoughts on this, what we've heard tonight? The Titan thing, I've sent both of you the video and the print story, and you'll forward that on to Jimmy.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people, you know, don't believe in abduction. Even ghosts, as far as that goes. Although some people believe in ghosts, not abductions, and vice versa.
That's true. That's true.
There's something going on there. And I used to go to Dr. Jacobs' meetings at Temple University, and there'd be 30, 40 abductees at his home in the meeting, and each one would have a similar story.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the first 50 or so, you don't believe, but after a while, you understand that the stories are very similar.
Yeah, the template is there. You got it. Something's going on, obviously.
And frequently they have scars on their bodies, scoop marks, that kind of thing that would make.
Did David Jacobs ever do the fluorescent light, use a light on them to see if their skin had markings on it under a fluorescent light, a black light?
I believe so. I know he did on some, like blankets and, you know, other people would bring in their pajamas type thing, you know.
Well, that was Daryl. Remember Daryl did a lot of work with that?
Right.
Carol Sims?
We did some work with it. And,
yeah.
Frankly, it's fairly common that there seems to be...
he was the first person that told me about it.
That you can pick up things.
Wonder what Daryl Sims is doing. I haven't heard much from him lately. We hope he's doing all right.
No, I haven't heard much from him either.
I remember David Jacobs' book, The Threat. When David came out with the book, and he was on this program very early after he released it, he said he didn't go into the research with any preconceptions whatever. He went where the data took him. And he wasn't particularly comfortable with it, as I remember. Now, I'm sure he told you this, but he said, whatever is going on with this whole abduction phenomena is moving toward some kind of a conclusion, he felt. Did he tell you that?
More or less.
Mm-hmm.
That the last time I talked to him, he said that the abductees are saying that they're being taken aboard the craft or even in their own rooms, but in any case, they're meeting with the, let's call them half-human and half-aliens.
Hybrids, of course.
Hybrids. And that they're asked to give the hybrids information on how to live in our society.
How to pass. How to pass.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah.
And so if you go to Walmart, you see some strange-looking people. Think about the fact that they might be aliens. And if they run away, they probably are.
Now, that's not as... George is being funny, but he's serious. And what better way to pass in Walmart than to look odd? I mean, that's... I've seen enough of those pictures to last me a couple of lifetimes. Frank, anything to add to this?
Well, it's interesting. There's a lady that both George and I know who was written up in Dr. Jacobs' first book, and she explained one of her experiences to me where she was going to work, and it was rush hour, and she said the flow of traffic was normal, and she said all of a sudden it seemed as if time had stopped. She said it was almost as if the second hand had stopped on a watch, and she said everybody paused, everybody was at a standstill. And the ship came down, and some visitors came out, came over to her door, took her out of the car, took her on board the craft, then brought her back into the car, put her back behind the wheel, and traffic took off as if it was normal, as if they had moved between the second hand of a watch.
Wow, and that might have actually transpired in a second or two, because it is often said that time on board these ships is much different than ours.
Yes.
Who knows?
We had quite a few cases where people would leave, we'll say, at 10 o'clock at night, and you have like three people there saying, well, we were watching, you know, a particular TV show, and I remember she left right after the show, and it was 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and they would arrive 2 hours drive away before they left.
Before they left.
Right. In other words, they would arrive, we'll say, at 10 minutes to 10, 2 hours away.
Well, that's one of those mistake things, like putting people back in the wrong place, it sounds like.
Well,
but wild.
Some way they could control time.
Yeah,
Or make sure, it
this may sound strange, but I knew two women during my experiences that said they had the ability of being able to collapse time, and they could do just what George described. They had to be somewhere in 2 or 3 hours. They could collapse time and be there in just a question of maybe 5 minutes.
That's a nice trick.
Yep.
Wow. All right, gentlemen, that's our 2 hours tonight. Frank Chile, thank you very much. That was really nice of you to put this together. What a wonderful couple. Fascinating stories, as always. We'll talk to you next time.
Take care. Thank you.
Okay. And Major Filer, sir, enjoy what I sent you. I think it'll be interesting. Titan II missiles, and maybe you can
talk, next Tuesday?
Yeah, I think next Tuesday is our, exactly,
right.
On the 7th. Talk to you on the 7th.
And, look at my files at the National UFO Center.com.
Don't forget those. And if you'd like a free subscription to George's wonderful Filer's Files, just write to him at Major, M-A-J-O-R, star, at Verizon.net, and tell him you heard him here and you'd like a free copy. And he'll put you right on the mailing list. Thank you, George, as always. Talk to you soon. Be well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, that's hour two, and we'll come right back with a man from Mars next.